This is Together, an Ada Bible Church podcast about the world of marriage, where we attempt to invite you to explore the ways marriage works and doesn't work. From practical ways of learning to biblical inspiration, we invite you to listen to other professionals and couples to help enrich your marriage.
Well, hey, listeners, it's so good to be with you today, and we have an amazing guest with us. First, we got Samuel.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, but we also have Dan Seaborn.
I'm going with Samuel, the amazing guest. I just have to be here.
No, Dan, you're the guy, man. You're the guy.
So Dan Seaborn is the president of Winning at Home. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. But Dan, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Oh, that's a loaded question.
It is.
First of all, I'd just like to say I seek to honor the Lord with my life. You know, a little boy growing up in the Carolinas and never dreamed that I'd become a preacher for the Lord. That wasn't my plan. I was going to go into some type of finance or something. And here I am just seeking to bring honor and glory to the Lord. My wife and I have lived here now in this area 30 plus years.
Wow.
We've been married 42, so
awesome.
A long time.
Yeah.
But our goal is just to simply take the word of God wherever he opens the door for us to take it. And we've learned a lot. We've been through a lot in our season of life. A lot of brokenness that our family's gone through. But in all of it, we just see the Lord doing a good work. And I praise him because I've understood and learned in these last, I'd say especially last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I'm 63 years old, and I would say my best learning's been the last three. And I'm really seeing that it's not about me. It's not about anything I've done. It's about just making his name known. And so praying through this podcast today, that happens. But just a dude trying to honor the Lord. That's who I am.
That's awesome. So tell us about your family and like, what do you like to do with your free time?
Yeah, well, we have four children, two boys, Alan and Josh. They're, let's see, 38 and 35 now. And then our girls are 33 and 28. And they all live close in the area. My son, I had one son that lived in South Africa for a couple of years and really did a lot of ministry there with just difficult situations in the area. And then I had a son who planted a church in Camden, New Jersey, which some people may at least know, a great place to plant a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there for 8 years, but they've since moved back closer to us. And so all our families in the area have probably today, by the end of this episode, 8 grandkids, because I have a daughter who's in the middle of labor. So we've moved a pretty quick path to have 8 grandkids. Me personally, man, I love sports. I love the NBA. I love basketball. I love...
Who are your teams?
Yeah, it's your favorite.
KD, whoever KD's playing for. I've always been a KD man. I love KD. I think he's got just a great game. And, you know, he's a little bit of a sniper, but he's fun. And I've pulled for him a long time.
Oh, that's
but
great.
But Jordan is my man. I mean, if we're going to just go down to it, I'm a card collector, so like basketball cards.
Okay.
My boys actually do part of their occupation is actually selling and trading ball cards. So really unique. We've been doing that since they were little bitty kids, and now it's turned into an income for them and their families. And I do a lot of sports stuff and trading, but just love everything. Love pickleball. Love flying. Last night I was flying a remote control plane. I have a lot of hobbies, probably too many hobbies, but I just enjoy life, enjoy outdoors. Grew up in the Carolinas outdoors, and I just love being outside. So we're an outdoors family. We hang out a lot, you know, play a lot. And I'm real big on serving the Lord. And one of the ways I really enjoy doing that is making sure I have some good play time too, staying healthy mentally, emotionally, and physically.
It's awesome.
Because staying healthy mentally and emotionally and physically is just huge and important, especially in the culture we're in.
Yeah, very smart.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to seem kind of off cusp,
right,
but Carolina barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it really that thing? You know, is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so.
Okay.
I miss that. And when I go down south, first of all, you probably notice I have an accent. I don't, I think I talk the same as y'all. So I don't notice that.
When we don't.
When we go down south and we go through a drive through, I'll be like, man, these people talk Southern. And, you know, my kids are like, well, that's how you sound. They grew up in Michigan. So they don't have the Southern accent, but my wife and I do, but my kids don't. So it's kind of unique with that. But, I'd say the barbecue, the I don't know if you've ever done this, but like boiled peanuts, that's my favorite. That's a big Southern thing. And even around here, I'll stop like at a Speedway, get me a pop, a Coke, and then pour peanuts in it. And the lady, you know, at the counter is like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is a Southern thing. I said, have you ever tried it? And they'll say no, and I'll say try it.
See, Kelly, next time we go to the gas station, we're going to be trying to think
try
about
it.
That.
I'm just, never heard of that
pour,
before.
Either drink or pour like a quarter of the Coke out and then fill it up with a whole bag of peanuts. And that is just, I guess it's the sweet and salty. It's delicious to that me. So sense. I might grab one on the way out of here.
Smart.
Wow.
So tell us about winning at home.
Sure. Well, the Lord allowed me to start this ministry a little over 25 years ago now. And we started with me traveling and speaking. I just began to do that all across the country. And then at one particular speaking event, with you being a counselor, you're really going to appreciate this, Samuel. I spoke at an event and I had a counselor come up to me afterwards and say, your speaking is really flawed. That's how he introduced himself to me. Wow. You're really flawed. I'm like, well, thanks. Yeah. What do you mean? He said, you really motivated the people well, but they don't know how to take that next step.
Mm.
They don't know what to do now. And so he said, can I come behind you and start a counseling ministry that really, you know, connects with people? And I was like, absolutely, I would love that. So we've started that. Now we're probably about 60 strong and 30 counselors and coaches that do what you do, Samuel, just minister to people on a daily basis. Yeah. So our ministry is designed around that. I travel and speak. I still do that sort of thing. But we are focused as a ministry on really bringing that clinical counseling, but also biblical counseling. And I appreciate, I know your ministry does the same thing, Samuel, with that. It's really important that we not just think it's clinical.
Absolutely.
I appreciate all the great counselors. But add Jesus to it. Don't think you have the answer. He has the answer. So bring your clinician skills, but add Jesus. And I think it's a great thing. And I'm a pastor. Like, that's what I am. And pastors, all pastors, listen to me, should not be counselors. They should get a professional counselor. You can give great spiritual advice, but make sure you understand clinicians have another level of knowledge and wisdom. And I love to be able to bring people to that realization. But that's what our center does. We see probably, 10,000, 12,000 clients a year. And so the Lord's been good to us, and we're just trying to make a mark.
Wow. It's amazing, Dan, what Winning at Home has become. And you guys do. You do great work. I have one question, though. Okay. I was on your website this morning. What's going on with this Tampa satellite? How did that start?
Well, I have a friend down there who was a pastor for a long time, and then he just said to me, he felt like you, Samuel, he felt some of that call to be more of a clinician and coach, and he said to me, would you allow me to open a Winning at Home in Tampa Bay? I'm like, let me think. I would need to go down and check on that often. Yes, that's going to work out. So
that's great.
It's been really good. He's got two campuses down there that he can kind of see people in the Tampa area. And then we have actually a counseling center in Rwanda. So just trying to make a difference there. And then we have two in Holland and probably pretty soon to launch one in the Grand Rapids area. We're working and praying on that. And so we're just letting the Lord lead. But I never expected this. I didn't start out to build something big. Still don't. I fight it tooth and nail to stay small. But God's blessed it. And I just am trying to honor him with it. I'm not doing the day-to-day as much. I'm speaking and focusing on that, but I have a team that's overseeing the day-to-day of the ministry, but it's going well, and we give all the glory to the Lord.
That's awesome. So, Dan, on this note, last question about you. How often do you speak per year? And because you speak quite a bit, right?
Almost every weekend. Yeah. I'm in a different church every weekend. I have been doing that a long time. I love it. Like, I've never enjoyed speaking like I love speaking right now. It's crazy. The Lord gave me back the fire in my belly to communicate his word and his truth. And, you know, through a season there 10 years ago when my daughters were really struggling and one daughter went totally wayward, that was beating me up pretty bad. And I was ready to quit. Mm. I didn't know how to put one foot in front of the other. It was very, very difficult. But the Lord has shown me, we'll talk about this actually some today, even though we're on the topic of marriage, I'm still going to hit the idea that I think too often we rely on ourselves or we build a little a little bit around us. And I get that. It's normal. It's humanity. You know, when you're 30, you're trying to prove yourself. Well, at 60, you better be done with that, because if you're not, you're going to be flat out worn out and you're going to give up. And the Lord has just renewed my desire to go, I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to be steady in this. And it's so needed in our culture. So for me, it's just been a beautiful thing to see the Lord renew that. And we're gonna continue to try to make a mark.
Well, I saw you at Recourage, and I loved your message, and especially your part where you talked about your grandson Jackson was really powerful. So for our listeners, we are going to leave a link in the show notes so that you can watch Recourage. But if you go towards the end, you'll be able to see Dan speaking on his topic. So yeah, really good.
Thanks. I really enjoyed the opportunity, and pray the Lord will use it to encourage others, who, especially those who are serving in ministry. Sometimes that can be lonely and difficult, and we feel like if we're broken, then we need to be done. And it's actually just the opposite. God came for the broken, and he sure came and picked me up, and he's renewed me with an inner strength. Like, I used to rely on some of my strength, as I said. I got none of that anymore. It's all glory to the Lord, and whatever I do, if I do something and people say it was really good, then give the Lord glory. I don't know how I pull that off. It's all him.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about marriage.
Yeah.
And marriage from a biblical standpoint, because a lot of people have different views about marriage, right? But the Bible has some pretty clear directions and thoughts about marriage. And so I created some points that I want you guys, all three of us, will just kind of riff on talking about some of these points. I believe that the primary reason God made marriage is for our spiritual growth, creating deeper intimacy with him. Marriage is the most intimate relationship by far. What are your guys' thoughts about that, that God created it for spiritual growth?
Yeah, definitely, Kelly. You know, I think about my own personal relationship with my wife as a they say marriage is a mirror, right? And it's a great opportunity to see what, you know, you're navigating in your everyday life when you look at your own relationship with your spouse. And in my space, you know, when I'm looking at that, I often cases see how God speaks to me through how I treat my spouse. Mm-hmm. Right. Even working with my clients, you know, a lot of them, they're navigating these nuances of personality. They're navigating these nuances of, you know, the big three topics, sex, communication, and money. But then when you think about their own space of how do you navigate your own spiritual connection with your spouse, you have to go back to how they navigate their relationship with God. And in that space, God will talk to you about you. In your prayer time, in your spiritual time, but it'll also use your spouse to begin to help you reflect on ways that you can grow in your own lifestyle and in the way that you navigate things. And, you know, I think to stories where me and my wife were just sitting looking at each other, and we have our conflictual times. And when I go to bed, you know, God begins to talk to me about, so did you see how you didn't operate in love when you were working through that conversation with her and you were operating out of your own selfishness? You see how in some cases with me, you are operating out of your own flesh and not out of what I've called and commanded you to do, and you're doing your own thing. In those spaces, it's those times where God begins to reflect on helping you see the flesh and the personal standpoint of things, and then also begin to connect to how his relationship with you begins to bring that out of your identity as well. And I think that that's a part of this whole space of how that deeper intimacy and connection with God grows out of also your reflection and your interaction with your spouse.
That's good, Samuel. Yeah. I want to ask you, like, how long had you been married before you began to see some of those things?
Well, I think for me, it took at least the first 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, marriage, they say, sometimes happens in sevens. But I think for me, after that first 5 years of just getting into the interaction of that relationship with the wife and going through the dramas and the issues and the problems, I ended up finding out that, man, I need to get closer with God. But then God was also showing me, yeah, son, I'm showing you through your relationship with your marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm also showing you where me and you have been interacting, or the lack of interaction. And I think that that's true for a lot of couples as well.
Well, you did it quicker than me. You did it quicker than me. I would tell you it took me longer to see some of those things. I still think back to when I first met Jane and was going to get married. I had my picture in mind what marriage was about. You know, Kelly, you just said it's created for intimacy with God. Well, I sure didn't start there. I was thinking about intimacy with me. Finally, somebody to understand all my needs. Somebody's going to listen to me all the time. Someone who'll really care about me no matter what. And you find out quicker than 7 years. Yeah. That's not exactly what marriage is. But I think even somebody listening today, if you're in that first couple of years of marriage and you hear that phrase, marriage is about intimacy with God, they would go, how? You know, what do you mean by that, even that statement? And you're breaking that down is really good, because it's that moment where after a conversation, you're sitting there with yourself going, what could I have done better here, Lord? What could I do to enhance my relationship? Either that or you end up going apart, right? Mm-hmm. It's either you sit there and face that and own it, or you just go a separate way. But I do believe marriage ultimately is about that intimacy with God, but I don't think you can see that in those beginning stages.
Yeah, yeah. So tied to that, I believe that marriage is created to bring healing into our lives. Like in my own marriage, Julie, I think is a calming force in my life. And in a lot of different ways, Julie has brought a lot of healing in my life, because Samuel knows this, Dan, but I grew up in a very tumultuous family. Dad, alcoholic, physically abusive, not good. And one of the major ways Julie has been positive in my life is just bringing healing in those past experiences I had as a kid and as a young adult. What are your guys' thoughts about that?
Well, I think one of the big myths and or challenges that come into that space, and those two different things, but I think about couples who come into the space believing that either marriage will complete them or that they have to be totally whole before they get married. Mm-hmm. And it misses out on the aspect of the maturation process that marriage often cases reveals for each person, because you're still two individuals coming into that space. And so when I think about the healing place, Dan and Kelly, that's that idea where, like, okay, God, you are a restorer. You are, you know, Jehovah Rapha. You are these things that you will give us and provide for us in our relationship with you. But in that space, we have to allow you to do that through also our own individual reflections of what we need growth in. And I think that in that space, even in my own personal story and growth, you know, and or the story of other clients that I've seen, like, it's that space of God. Like, you got to continually reveal to me yourself, so that way I can see where those broken pieces are. Or if I'm coming in the idea that I'm broken and I'm waiting for someone to help restore me by being in a marriage with them, we got to navigate those things very carefully. And I think that that comes out often cases in many people's relationships.
Yeah, I identify with what you're saying too there, Kelly. I had that same childhood, a very abusive father, and you can't even see it till you're older. Like, I had nothing sexual, but I had a dysfunctional relationship with my mom because I became her protector. Mm-hmm. You know, Dad would abuse her, and then I would try to stop him. Me and my older brother, he was 6 years older, just the two of us, and we would try to stop that abuse. And all I ever saw in marriage was that type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And I yearned as a little boy, like, I always yearned for my father's love. And never got it. Mm-hmm. Like, even till his end. We're good. I finished great with my dad. He actually passed during COVID, and I was able to hold him as he passed. But even, like, let's just take today. If my dad were still alive and I'm 60 years old and I went to see him afterwards, because he passed about 3 years ago now, if I went in to see him at the nursing home, said, "Dad, how's it going? Good? Where you been?" If I said, "Hey, I was over Ada doing a podcast," are they going to hire you there? Are they going to, will the church? Does the church want you to be their pastor? Because I travel and preach and didn't have one steady church, he thought I just couldn't get a job. And so even up to my adult life, I've never been able to please him. And I noticed when I married Jane, I can see this clearer now of how our childhood affects us. When I married Jane, I was thinking, okay, now she'll fill that slot. Dad couldn't do it, so now she'll fill that slot. And I think that I put on her unreasonable expectations. Like, she can't do that. Ooh. She cannot mm-hmm. fulfill those needs. Mm-hmm. Only God the Father mm-hmm. can fulfill those needs. In fact, my favorite scripture verse for marriage these days is not from Ephesians, not from Genesis, it's not from Revelation, not from 1 Corinthians 13. My favorite scripture verse for marriage is Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to it. Marriage is one of them. You've got to put Jesus first. And I couldn't see this about myself, but in my early days of marriage, you know, I became a preacher when I was like 28. And I would have said then that, oh, Jesus is first in my life. But I have to be honest and say, I was trying to make Jane happy and I wanted her approval as much as I did God's. I was going to be honest, because I didn't know any better. I'd always fought for approval. I'd always fought for being good enough. Dad wouldn't give it to me. Now I got to get Jane to give it to me. Not realizing, Dan, you don't have to fight for this. You're God's boy. You're good. Mm-hmm. You don't need to find your identity in Jane or in your dad or whatever. Find it first in me, which is what that verse is saying. Seek him first, and then you'll even get your marriage in order. Somebody listening right now is fighting so hard to get something from your spouse. You working yourself to the bone to get something from your spouse, and you've done that the wrong way. You've got to start with Jesus first. Ask him, Jesus, how can you fill this hole in me that obviously I need my spouse to fill? Help me find my identity first in you. And I think that's what we're talking about here. All of us have been affected by our childhoods, right?
Absolutely.
And it's when we realize that and begin to trust that to the Lord, we can move our marriages to that next place of really discovering what you said earlier, that deeper intimacy with God.
Absolutely, Dan. So good. So I'll give you one more. I believe marriage, there's a lot of reasons God created marriage. We could list about at least 20. But one more would be, I think, a very important one, and that is God created marriage for creating a mission or purpose as a couple and as a family. And the cool thing I know about both of you guys on some level is you guys are manifesting that. Samuel, why don't you go first?
Yeah.
You and Tova.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, mission and purpose.
By the way, my wife's name is Tova. Me and Tova, number one, we have two kids, both under five, and they run our life. With that, though, I think about the very first year of marriage, you know, your mom and your dads and the community is telling you, you know, when you're going to have your kids, when you're going to have the family, when you're going to have this, that, and the other. And in that space, I remember the pressure sometimes that created. But then there were also those that would say, Sam, take your time with your family. Mm-hmm. But part of that taking your time process, one of the best instructions from a pastor friend of mine that I got was, Sam, make sure that you follow and you utilize Habakkuk 2 for your family when you're going to create a vision. And it's not just about creating a vision and writing it and making it plain for everybody else, but it's for you and your spouse to see. So that way, whatever it is that God wants to do with your kids, whatever God wants to do with your marriage, whatever God wants to do with you all individually in no particular order, God can utilize that and be able to continually do what he wants to do on the earth through you all as a family. And so, like, I remember those instructions, Dan and Kelly, and in that space, you know, something about when you began to write what you believe God wants to do through the earth, through you all as a family, from the way that you name your kids to the way that you believe God is going to utilize them in the earth, being arrows shot into the enemy's camp, you know, to the space of, okay, God, what do you want to utilize our marriage for? I remember me and my wife writing down, like, okay, we would be ministering in these spaces. We'll be doing these types of things with couples. We'll be navigating all those different things that we began to talk about and dream up. But it was almost as like we were downloading. You used manifesting. I used downloading what God wanted to do and already had put in before the foundations of our life before we even got here, before we even got married. And I think that in that space, Dan and Kelly, that's what it looks like when you're talking about creating a mission or purpose. It's really we're getting in line with what God's vision is that we begin to write and agree with Amos 3:3 to be able to do what he says to do. And I think that that's a powerful aspect of creating that mission and purpose.
It's very, very clear direction you're giving people to follow there, and some practical applications you've done in your life, Samuel, to do that. And I would just say, honestly, I think a lot of people probably listening today, if you said to them, write down the purpose of your life, write down the purpose of your family, I think they'd struggle doing that. I sat the other day with a group of business executives, big time owners of companies. We sat in a room at a table like we're sitting at here. And I said, okay, they asked me to come and speak to them. I said, well, we're going to do something different. I want to ask you, what's your purpose on the earth? I'm going to go around one by one. And there was looks of, I'm not sure. I've never really thought about that. And I think what you're just, the simple point you're making, Samuel, of know that first, understand that. And you and your wife have done that. You want your children to be an example of following that. And I certainly relate to it from the very beginning days of the children being in Jane's womb. I pray that our family would grow up and have a purpose and make a mark for the kingdom. And so I sit here, but I also have to say, I sit here having had a wayward child and feeling like one of those arrows got broke along the way and how difficult and painful that was. And yet God is redeeming that fully and no plan of his will be thwarted. And I just want everybody to hear that today. You may be in a place with your family where something is broken or not right. God's plan will not be thwarted. My brother always said, and I think I shared it at Recourage, God writes straight using crooked lines. And, you know, when I was your age, Samuel, if you had told me my little kids that ran around the house would ever go through some waywardness, I would have said, no way, man. I'm like a dad that rocks it out. I'm an amazing father. And Jane's awesome. No, our kids aren't going to do that. Well, they did.
Yeah.
And I sit on the other end of that going, wow, Lord, your purpose will not be stopped. Even through this, you're bringing honor and glory to your name. You know, my daughter now has come back to the Lord. She's actually going to the jails now to speak to girls who are in that type of situation. And I go, okay, God, you had a big old plan going on here that I didn't necessarily see. But I think defining what your purpose is as a family and saying, I'm on the earth to do this for God's glory. Mm-hmm. And your kids hearing that out of your mouth, that's one of the purposes, I think, of marriage is to pass that faith on to our kids.
That's so good, Dan. And I think a big encouragement for, because there are listeners out there right now who are listening who have wayward sons
Absolutely.
Or daughters. And yeah, that's really encouraging to hear, especially because you've walked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and your daughter and your wife have walked it.
At the end, in fact, Samuel's going to wrap this up in prayer. He prayed beforehand, but I didn't know it, and I prayed too. But Samuel, you're going to wrap this thing up in prayer. And
yes,
will you make sure at the end you pray for those wayward kids?
Absolutely.
We'll spend a little time praying for parents who are listening for that.
That'd be awesome.
Love that. But, trust me, when you have a wayward child, you love prayer. And I'm just telling you, you love prayer.
Oh, that's so good, Dan. So, okay, so we talked a little bit about how the Bible views marriage, but our culture has some things and ideas about marriage that are false. So I'm going to read those, and I want, Dan, why don't you start on this first one. Marriage is the end game of life. What do you mean by that, and how is that false?
Yeah, well, I think that for many of us, we define success as getting married. In our culture, you know, we're in West Michigan area, and I can tell you, I grew up in the Carolinas, and there's no question, even as a young kid, you know, be asked, oh, you know, who you think you're going to marry? Well, I'm 7 years old. Are you kidding me? Back up a little bit. Let me live life. And then if you meet someone, like I remember my son, Alan, my oldest, when he was 30, he was not yet married. And people would really say, would literally say to him, well, what's wrong? Are you like, what? You don't have to be married to know your purpose and know your fulfillment. Marriage is a blessing from the Lord, but it's not necessary for you to fulfill your purpose for the Lord. So I just think so many people get married seeing it as the end game. This is the pinnacle of life. I got married and now I've made it. And if that's true, going to your seven-year theory there, Samuel, about 7 years in, you're going to be like, I guess this wasn't the peak because it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. No one listening today is in a perfect marriage. And there may be even someone listening thinking, well, I listen to this because I'm planning on getting married and it's going to be the end to all and I'll be great. And I just tell you, don't put that type of pressure on your marriage relationship. It will never be perfect. You are two broken people coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best you'll ever do is find healing and growth and personal walk with him. But marriage isn't the end game. The end game is that your life would honor Christ. You heard that through what Samuel said first. And I believe when you define success as knowing my purpose in Jesus, then you can put your marriage in its proper place. Mm.
Samuel, you have any thoughts?
Hey, listen, Dan said it.
Dan said it. Okay, well, let's put these next two, these last two together. They're somewhat similar. Being in a healthy marriage relationship is the definition of success. Finding your soulmate is what life is all about.
Well, I want to first of all say about the word soulmate. And it's not in Scripture. Mm. We put it in Scripture. And I can recall speaking at conferences over my many years. In fact, these days when I go back to a place where I spoke 20 years ago, I will start by saying, can I first apologize for a few things I taught that, as I look now, weren't biblical as much as I thought? Because growing up, I always heard soulmate, 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 right? And find your soulmate. And then I started noticing when I was speaking at these conferences and I would say something like, so good to see all of you here today with your soulmate. I could just see people like, if this is my soulmate, we got a problem. You know, it's like you don't start out there. You start out as a helpmate, which is what Genesis says our spouse is. Mm. And you got to start there. You don't start with soulmate. You can develop that. You can begin to grow together as a couple and pray together as a couple and get to a place of being a soulmate. But there's no way that young couple that sat on my couch this week is going to get married. They asked me to do their wedding. They're sitting there. They think they're soulmates. They don't have a clue about each other's soul. Mm. And I wanted them to say, no, you're helpmates. Now, you can begin to enhance each other's life, just as you said, Kelly, about your wife. I married her and she's spoke peace into my life. Perfect. Over the years, you can develop that soulmate mentality, but you don't start there. For the two to become one, that is a many years process. And I just think it's really important that we note that, because a lot of people would say, if I hear that phrase soulmate, then maybe I married the wrong person, because I've been married 20 years and I ain't feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever see this becoming my soulmate. And I want to back way up and go, no, it's helpmate. And it's like you said earlier, which one of you said it, but we talked about how your marriage relationship is to grow you. Mm. It's to make you realize I got some issues in my life. My spouse can see them better than me. And if I'm willing to hear that, that's a real helpmate. And Jane's been a real helpmate to me because she's pointed out my flaws. And that doesn't sound like soulmate. That sounds like she's doing this for my good. She's trying to help me. And when we change our mindset to realize, oh, okay, then that makes all of us in a much more easy relationship to work with. Because if we're starting with soulmate, some of us are ready to get out. But if we start with helpmate, okay, I can work at that.
Dan, that's so good. And you even got me thinking about scriptures in my head where I think it was David that said, "In the Lord is the lover of my soul."
There you go.
It's almost like when
that's your soulmate, right?
Exactly. It's like when you think about that phraseology, it's a space where really I'm attempting to put some human person in a place that only God was meant to consolidate and hold. And like in that space, Dan and Kelly, like that idea that sometimes we hold our spouses in bondage when we're supposed to have just a bond with them, and they're supposed to direct us continually back to the Lord who is our soulmate. It begins to create a space that was never meant to be fulfilled by that person. A helpmate.
Absolutely.
A helper.
Well, I love what you're saying there, because Scripture talks about him being our soul. God is that.
Absolutely.
And if I put my spouse in there, then they're not going to be able to fulfill that.
Yeah.
If we both go together in the Lord,
absolutely,
we can become closer as soulmates in the Lord, but our souls belong to him. Ultimately, at the end of our lives, our soul does not go to our spouse. Mm-hmm. Our soul goes to the Lord God Almighty.
That's it.
I think that's good, and your Scripture you referred to there is great.
That's it.
Yeah. So, well, I think this has been a great conversation. And just kind of as you mentioned earlier, Dan, why don't we, because Samuel, you have a gift for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we end this episode with a little prayer, and we'll end it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dan, I'm honored, number one, that you asked me to make sure we prayed for wayward children. You know, when I think about, you know, our various time and both counseling individuals and their histories and their lifestyles, you know, we will often hear about children who face traumatic incidences, whether it be family related or assault related. We think about things that sometimes our children have never told us that they've experienced.
Yeah.
And that's on top of just the world's impact and effect on individuals' consciousness and what they believe and what they begin to feel like they can have an opportunity to go. I think about that story in the Bible where the son leaves his family because of all the opportunities in the world that exist. And he's like, Dad, brother, yeah, there's nothing left really here for me. I got to go see what the world has to offer.
Yeah.
And I think that many of us go through that space. And so if you as a listener, whether you are that one or you know of someone or you have a child that's in that space, I want to just pray for you and encourage you for this space. So, God, we just thank you. We thank you, number one, Father, you are the author and the finisher of all life. And so in this space, God, I thank you that you have a special love for the one out of the 99. And what that means, God, is I believe that you care so much about those that would leave a space of safety, that would leave a space of a relationship with you or a relationship with their parents. Out of just the mysteries and the understandings that life and the earth is so big, is so vast. And in that space, God, I know that you care so much for them that you are continually drawing them back to be in a relationship and in a space of love with you. Your love is everlasting. Your love is amazing. And your love also knows no bounds. And in those bounds, God, sometimes there are those that are looking and seeking and wondering what else there is beyond you. And yet still finding their way back to you is the goal, God. And so I pray for those children that are on their journey, that are on their way, trying to figure out what life is about, how to make sense of their purpose, of their mission, of their vision, how to make sense of the things that they've gone through. And God, we begin to just pray for and intercede for them that they would come running back to you, that they would understand your everlasting agape love, that they would experience that love that knows no bounds, Lord God, that knows no heights, that knows no depths. God, we just intercede for them, Lord God, that they will hear, Lord God, clearly your voice, whether it be through a parent or a pastor or a friend, Lord God, or a peer. We thank you that they will hear your voice and know your voice as a shepherd that's calling them back to you, God. So we intercede for that child, Lord God, to not only hear you, but know you and know that you are the lover of their soul. You are the one that gave your son Jesus for their life. And that if they believed in you, if they just understood who you were, Lord God, to them, that they could have that eternal life and that relationship with you. So, Lord, we pray for those children. We pray for the parents, Lord God, even who have been navigating this, Lord God, who've been carrying the heartache and the pain, Lord God, who've been wondering, Lord, do you even hear us as a couple? Do you hear our hearts for our children? We pray for peace for them. We pray for your presence to cover them, a peace that passes all understanding. And so in that space, God, we just thank you that you know all, you see all, you understand all, and that we, as we come running back to you as parents and as children, we would be able to know your voice and hear you and walk underneath your covering and know that you are calling us back to you, Lord God. And we thank you for it and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Wow,
amen.
Samuel. Amen. That's why I asked you to pray.
I love it.
Dan, thank you so much for, I know you're a busy guy, and thank you for taking this time to share with our listeners and share with Samuel and I. We had a great time, and just thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you guys too. Bless you both for all you do, and pray the Lord uses it.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Together. We hope you've learned a thing or two. If you find the podcast helpful, please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your listening platform, leave a comment, and give us a 5-star rating. If you'd like more information on Ada Bible Church and its ministries, or someone to pray or dialogue with about your marriage, go online and check out our website at adabible.org.